Do you believe in God? If you're not sure, please consider these words from Pastor Al Pittman.
You can say, I don't believe in gravity, but if you go on top of this building and jump off, guess what? And you can believe it sincerely all you want, but what does thus saith the Lord? There is no partiality with God. That God is a God of love and mercy and grace. Oh my gosh. But he's also a God that is just, and he must punish sin. And if you're rejecting his love, rejecting his goodness, rejecting the gospel, rejecting the sacrifice of his son, then you are storing up for yourself wrath and judgment.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
C.S. Lewis wrote, "If I find in myself a desire in which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Lewis recognized that believers are citizens of heaven, that earth is not our home. Are you looking forward to the day when Jesus returns to take us home? It really could happen any day now. This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Today we begin 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and transition from the rapture of the church to the day of the Lord. There is a difference, and Al is here to help us understand it all.
We talk about the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord can be a specific day, time, or it can be a period of time, as we see in Scripture. For example, in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 18 to 25, it talks about the day of the Lord. Then it talks about that day, the day of the Lord, that day being the same thing. But in that context, in Isaiah chapter 7, he's talking about God using the Assyrian Empire to discipline his people who had rebelled against the Lord, who had turned to sin and idolatry. And God was going to use the Assyrian nation to bring judgment upon the children of Israel. And that time, that judgment, was called the day of the Lord. So it's used in that context, but it's also used to speak about the day of the Lord also means speaking of that time in the end of God's divine judgment, which is also mentioned in the Old Testament as well. Places like Joel chapter 2, verses 30 to 32, and Isaiah chapter 2, verses 12 to 22, speak of the very fact that there's a day coming, which, by the way, is still yet future, where it will be the day of the Lord, the day really of God's divine judgment upon the earth. Now, when you think about the coming of Christ, there are actually two second comings, if you will. One is the rapture of the church. We talked about that last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church, when Jesus will call his church up. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and those who are alive and remain at that time will also be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always, forever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture of the church, when Jesus takes the church off the face of the earth. But the day of the Lord that Paul is speaking about here has to do with God's final judgment, a judgment that is recorded in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, all the way to chapter 20, verse 3. If you want to go back and read that, please read it. It speaks of Christ coming to earth on a white horse, amen, with a sword protruding out of his mouth. Not a literal sword, but his word, when he speaks, it cuts like a sword, a double-edged sword. And he will come back and have written on it with this garment that's dipped in blood, which speaks of judgment. And I call it a tattoo, but a tat on his thigh, or written on his thigh, the Bible says, will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will come back with the armies of heaven, and he will judge the earth. Now, that time is yet future. This, again, is the time Paul is speaking about, and a time that Paul warned us about in Romans chapter 2. And so if you turn into Romans chapter 2, and we'll read about what Paul, the apostle, said about this time. And there in Romans chapter 2, Paul, speaking to people who had rejected God's goodness, as he says here in verse 4, he says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" And then he says in verse 5, he says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are," and this is what the world is doing today, "you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath in revelation of the righteous judgment of God." People are storing up. They don't know. They're depositing into their account and their wickedness and their rebellion against God, judgment against themselves. And so, you know, basically when you get to heaven, God's going to give you what you've been storing up. And people are doing that in rebellion against God. And he said, who, God, will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, here it is, and do not obey the truth, and the truth, but obey unrighteousness, these are people who have not been born again, there will be indignation. This is what they're storing up for themselves, and wrath, and tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Now, someone told me last week that there was someone here that was, as I was speaking about the judgment of God, and the Bible talks about the judgment of God and all, that they were kind of commenting during the whole time, during the message, I don't believe God's like that. I don't believe God's like that. Well, you can believe what you want to believe. You can say, I don't believe in gravity, but if you go on top of this building and jump off, guess what? And you can believe it sincerely all you want, but what does thus saith the Lord? There is no partiality with God. That God is a God of love and mercy and grace. Oh my gosh. But he's also a God that is just, and he must punish sin. And if you're rejecting his love and rejecting his goodness and rejecting the gospel, rejecting the sacrifice of his son, then you are storing up for yourself wrath and judgment. That's what the Bible says. Now, we go back here to 1 Thessalonians, as that is sort of a background, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul speaking to the church here about this day, the day of the Lord, this day really of judgment that will come. And he says in verse 3, he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need, that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Paul says, I don't have any need to talk to you guys about the day of the Lord, because you know yourselves that the day of the Lord is a day that comes as a thief in the night. In other words, Paul says, I don't need to speculate about the day, the time, and the season. Well, you know, because nobody really knows, because he's going to come as a thief in the night. This day of the Lord, this day of judgment. In other words, don't waste your time speculating about it like many people do today. And ever so often, we get somebody come around. You know, the last big one was in, 2012 was going to be the end of the world. And then here a couple of years ago, this guy was talking about the Jesus was coming, I think it was around May, and then he had to revise his statement because he didn't come in May, and then he said, oh, he's going to come in September, and then he didn't come in September, and I don't know what happened to the guy. He's just quiet now or whatever. In fact, I think he may not be around anymore. But anyway, the point is that we laugh, but the Christians fall for it all the time. Jesus said, nobody knows the hour but the Father. Matthew 24, verse 36, he says, nobody knows the hour but the Father. And so what are we to do? We are to, rather than trying to speculate and figure out the time, we should redeem the time and use our lives in this time to glorify Jesus. Amen? That's what we ought to be doing, instead of trying to figure out when he's going to come back. That day will come as a thief in the night, Paul said. A thief in the night. I remember that movie in the 1970s, you know, that came out called Thief in the Night. Anybody remember that movie? The hokiest Christian movie ever made. Ever in the history of Christendom. But I tell you what, it was the movie that God used to put a hook in my soul, and it brought me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I remember God saying to me, I think I was 17 years old, almost 18 at the time, him saying to me, is there anything, Al, on this earth that you want to be left behind for? It was a movie about the rapture of the church. And I said, no, Lord. And I gave my life to Christ. Amen. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. But Paul here is not talking about the rapture. We talked about the rapture last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's talking about this day of judgment. And it is further evidenced by what we see in verse 3, where he says, on this day, he says that it will come suddenly. There will be destruction, sudden destruction will come upon them as birth pains or labor pains upon a pregnant woman. and they shall not escape. This is not the rapture, this is judgment. I was talking to a friend after the last service, and he was telling me he's watching this program about how millionaires and billionaires, people are building underground these elaborate bunkers. Because people, it's interesting, because people instinctively know, even those who reject God, that there's something coming. Why are these millionaires building these elaborate bunkers underground and you know, water systems and storing up food and all this kind of stuff? Because people know instinctively, I think they know instinctively judgment must come, that we ain't going to get away with this. Amen. And so they're looking for the what they call the event to take place. Well, there is an event coming. It's the coming of the Lord. And the Lord says, I don't care how deep your bunker is, nobody's going to escape. Amen? Nobody's going to escape. You can run, but you can't hide. Amen? And Jesus talked about this time. He said, at this time, they will be saying peace and safety. Again, in Matthew chapter 24, the world will be crying peace and safety, you know? And why would they be saying peace and safety? Well, imagine the rapture of the church, the world's in chaos, the Antichrist comes to power, and he sets everything in order. Everybody is now under this world system where you cannot buy and sell unless you have a certain number, 666, Revelation chapter 13. And now we finally, mankind has finally managed himself. We finally have arrived, and then Jesus shows up and spoils our party.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message. In these confusing and sometimes scary times in which we live, would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of our study today in 1 Thessalonians 5.
Jesus talks about such a time in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood water came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. I can only imagine people when the flood water started coming up from the deep and all of that and started flooding the world and people banging on the doors of the ark, but it was too late. And so will the coming of the Son of Man be suddenly. A day like today, people were marrying and giving into marriage and all these different things. Just a regular day, you know. People declaring peace and safety, and Jesus shows up and spoils the party. Back here again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verses 4 and 5, Paul continues. And now he's talking a little bit more about the application. We know this day is coming. We don't need to speculate about it. We know it's coming. The Lord knows the day. The application is, man, we need to be ready. He says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. We may not know the exact time in the season, but we know when it's near. And if you pay attention to the signs that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 24 again, you know that we are near to the coming of the Lord. Number one, the rapture of the church has to take place, and then the coming of the Lord will follow that to the earth. So here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, I want to read to you some of the things that Jesus said would be taking place, some of the signs. And then I want you to think about what you hear about in the news every day. All right, we'll see if they match, all right? In verse 3, it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will all these things be? When will the end of the time be? Or when will your coming be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. We see that happening today, don't we? and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Have you heard of that lately? See that you are not troubled, for all things, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then in verse 7, he says, for nation will rise against nation. Have we seen that? Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Then he says in verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know, if the devil wanted to refute the prophetic words of Jesus, the world would love the church. Amen? If the devil wanted to really refute the prophecy of Jesus here about how the end times would be, the world ought to be loving the church, but the world hates the church for his name's sake. We are hated for his name's sake. Then in verse 10, it says, and by the way, let me just say that persecution of the church is at its all-time high. It's not declining, folks. It's rising. I was talking to a friend from Linda Weber, who was a missionary that was visiting here last week, and he was with her. He's from France as well, and he was just sharing that, you know, in France, you can't stand on the street corner and preach about Jesus. You can't talk publicly about Jesus. It's an offense. And at the same time, they're converting churches into mosques, and the government is funding these mosques. Because they're thinking, this is what he's telling me, they're thinking that if we can fund the mosque and get the Muslims off the street, then we can kind of control them. But the government is financially supporting the mosque and the religion of Islam, and yet at the same time, when it comes to Christianity, you can't preach the gospel. You can't publicly talk about Jesus unless somebody asks you. So he's an evangelist, so, you know, he can't go out and just preach. He says, I'm going to set up a stand or something, and if people come to me, I can talk to them, but I can't proclaim it like people can here in America. Just interesting. But hostility against the gospel is all over the world. So let me continue with the Lord's list here. He says, and many will be offended. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Amen. Everybody's offended today. Yeah. I'm offended. You know, for whatever reason, there's so much offense around. Everybody's offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Again, if the devil wanted to refute the words of Jesus, why are we not evolving into better people? Because evolution is a myth. In the heart of man, by nature, is desperately wicked. And so hatred abounds. It's not going away. We're not getting better. I mean, I'm a product of, I was born in 1955, the beginning of the civil rights movement, 1955, raised in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And I've seen the riots and heard of the riots or whatever in the streets and all this. And many of you know what I'm talking about. And you know, we thought we would be better by now, and we seem to be going back. But it's a sign we see today. Jesus said people will hate one another. And then verse 11, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Are we seeing that today? And because lawlessness, no respect for the law. People forget America is a nation of laws. And Romans chapter 13 says we should obey the law of the land as believers. But there is no respect for law anymore. If you don't like the law, then you're voting to change it, right? Amen. But rather than that, I'm going to smash your windows out. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to throw, you know, a drink in your face or whatever because I don't like what you believe, or I don't like the law. And that's anarchy. And the Bible says it right here. Jesus said it would happen. Their lawlessness would abound, and because lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, we will be a jaded generation. We're not moved anymore by the lawlessness we see around us. We say, people burning stuff down and doing, oh my God, what's on the other channel? And the love of many will wax cold because lawlessness, disrespect, used to be a time where you respect authority, is gone. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, verse 14, Matthew 24, in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then, Jesus said, the end will come. Amen. And then he talks about the great tribulation in verses 15 and following. That great tribulation. The Bible talks about 7 years of great tribulation, of tribulation, three and a half years of tribulation, another three and a half years of great tribulation. When God's pouring his wrath out upon the earth, Revelation chapter 6 to 19, before the coming of the day of the Lord. Amen. So we see these things happening. Jesus says, here's the sign. He says, when are you coming? He said, no one knows the hour. Only the Father knows. But here are some things that you can look for that you may know the time is near. In Matthew 24, 32 to 33, he says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. He said, look at fig, look at nature, how nature works. He says, when the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Really? Oh, look up, church. Your redemption draws near. Well, we may not know the time or the season, but we know when it's near. But we've got to be, and again, Paul is speaking about application here. We go back here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's talking about the application of it all. He says, in order for us to be aware of these things, man, you've got to be aware. You've got to be aware. You got to know that the time is near. So he says here in verse 5, he says, in verse 5 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, you are all sons, sons being universal, that is sons and daughters, sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. Okay, so you know Jesus is coming. You know what? Then you need to know what time it is. Why? Because you are a son of the light. You're sons of the light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world, like a city set on a hill. You know, it's not hidden. We're to be a witness for Christ. Christianity, our faith in Christ is not to be concealed. When people say, oh, but my religion is private. Yeah, because it's religion. But Jesus came to bring us into a right relationship with God. And when you have a right relationship with God, you cannot conceal it when you experience the grace and love and mercy of God. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.